Fine.
Hello, Christian.
Good morning.
Morning. It's afternoon here, man.
Yeah, you're 3 hours ahead. Well, thanks for joining me on Part-Time Fanboy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm sorry I had to push everything back a half hour.
No, it's fine. It's fine. My daughter gets an extra half hour of Strawberry Shortcake on Netflix, so.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's why I had to postpone, because I was watching Strawberry Shortcake.
Nice, nice. Well, just for anyone listening, you know, this is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am on the line with Anthony Del Cole, who is the co-creator of the Kill Shakespeare Empire, apparently, that is being published through IDW Press. I guess my first question, like, I don't know, what should we talk about? Because you've got so much going on.
Well, first of all, we should talk about how the fact that you referred to it as an empire makes me feel like I'm Darth Vader, which
okay.
I guess in some respects is a compliment, so thank you.
No, I mean, it just seems like you've got, what, you've got, like, a board game coming out. You had, like, three miniseries at IDW. You're also doing, like, theater productions. I think, haven't you been to Europe, too? Like, did you do something in England, or, like, I saw on Facebook, or am I mistaken about that?
No, you've got a very good memory. I mean, both Connor and I have attended a number of shows in the UK over the last 2 years. I mean, the first 2 years of launching Kill Shakespeare, we've stayed pretty much exclusively in North America, with the exception of a trip or two to the Middle East for the Middle East Comic Con.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've been flown twice to Dubai to take part in the Middle East Film and Comic Con in Dubai. It's a great show. And it's a real testament to the fact that geek culture, you know, comic book culture, I mean, everything is, it's a universal language now. I mean, anywhere you go in any part of the world, whether it's North America, the Middle East, India, Asia, you know, the UK, I mean, everyone knows Spider-Man and everyone loves Batman. And I mean, you have in the Middle East, you have people that are dressed up in burqas that also have, like, the cowls for the Batman suit. It's amazing. But no, I mean, the UK, we held back on the UK for the first 2 years, and I think we were kind of hesitant. We were a little scared of the UK because we thought, since it was the birthplace of Shakespeare himself, that people would look down upon us, and that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we were just the shy, neurotic Canadians, maybe.
Shy
and neurotic Canadians. Yes.
I've never seen that side of you. You're always so gregarious and open with me when I meet you at conventions and everything.
That's true. But no, I mean, yeah, we've been to England now, I think, 5 times in the last 2.5 years, and it's great. We go to the London Comic Con, which is great. They have shows a year, one spring and one in fall, and both shows are fantastic. And yeah, last year I had the fortune, the blessing and the honor to speak, to do a talk at the Globe Theater, which, of course, is where Shakespeare, you know, a replication of Shakespeare's original stage. So, I mean, I did a talk for some students there, and then afterwards they invited me on the stage. So they turned the lights on for me and just let me tread boards. It was one of those experiences that are in the top five that we've had since we launched Kill Shakespeare. It's just to be able to walk on the stage that, you know, and see the view that Shakespeare could have seen or would have seen back in, you know, 400 years ago was really mind-boggling.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, my jaw is kind of on the floor. Like, how... Like, I guess that's the thing that I'm most blown away by. I mean, you guys just seem to have your act so together, and so many other things have come from just, like, what basically started as a comic book?
Yeah, I mean, well, Connor McCreary, my co-creator and co-writer, when we first conceived of Kill Shakespeare back, it's been over 10 years now.
Wow.
We originally conceived it as something that would be a multimedia type of franchise, not necessarily an empire, but you know, I mean, we imagined that it could be film or TV, it could be video games, it could be comic books, it could be role-playing games, it could be board games, it could be, you know, all the stuff. I mean, we kind of hoped, you know, in our wildest dreams, but it's what we kind of hoped. And I mean, thus far, you know, we're very fortunate in that lot of our goals have been accomplished. There's still a lot more to happen, or a lot more to occur, but no, we've been very fortunate, and it's been great. And I think one of the reasons is because we're dealing with Shakespeare and Shakespeare's characters, and they're known throughout the world. And I mean, people can relate to them in their own ways, in their own languages, because they are, people often say that Shakespeare is the greatest writer of all time.
Yeah.
We would argue that Shakespeare is the greatest entertainer of all time. I mean, he
Sure.
created stories and characters that are resonant to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, that's really forward thinking of you because usually, I mean, you see a lot of people starting like comic books just to like, oh, I just want like an entertainment deal or like a movie. But it seems like you guys had a plan from the very beginning. Like you were going to start off with comics, or was it just any sort of media that came along? Was the plan to begin like we're going to start with our miniseries and then just see where that takes us?
Yeah, I mean, when we originally conceived of Kill Shakespeare, it was actually a video game, a massive online
Oh,
game.
yeah.
But we, neither Connor nor I had the expertise or the knowledge or anything to be able to put together something like that. So then we kind of sat back, and we actually sat on it for a number of years because, I mean, we were busy. I was in the music industry as a music manager. Connor was in broadcast journalism as a writer and an on-air personality. And so we just. We were trying to figure out what the best venue was for it, to get it out there. And Connor had actually worked as a he worked part-time at the Silver Snail in Toronto here, where he actually he was a manager for all of one day, for Greener Pastures. But it was at that point that he started to introduce me to comics. He got me to read Fables and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Why the Last Man and Walking Dead and all those types.
Yeah.
And it just opened my eyes to the possibilities of the medium. And so I went to him one day and said, well, what if we did this as a comic book series? And
Yeah.
he said, I never even thought about that, but that would actually be really cool because that way, all the dreams that we have for all these characters and the situations and the adventures and all the action and the battles and the romance and everything, you can do that all in comics, and you
Sure.
can't capture all, it's tough to capture all that emotion in video games. It's tough to do it in feature film or for television series. But for comics, I mean, we have free rein. So, I mean, that's why we really gravitated towards comics as the first way to launch it. And we thought, well, hey, I mean, if it then can spawn off into other things like a board game or a stage show, great. If not, then, we'll just be satisfied getting our vision onto the page.
Yeah. Well, just beginning with this current, miniseries, The Mask of Night, Kill Shakespeare, The Mask of Night. That issue number two, man, like that was really impressive. I mean, you guys saw my review on the website, but I was really impressed with that particular issue. I mean, just kudos to you guys for that.
Well, thank you. I mean, it seems like every issue that we sit down, we're like, oh man, this is gonna be a tough one to write. This, oh, I wish I was writing the next one. The next one's so much fun.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's important for us when it's either Connor or myself or together, and we always sit down and go, okay, well, what is the story? What is this particular issue about? What is the arc for the characters? What do we want them to accomplish? And then almost at the same time or immediately thereafter, we also think, well, how can we challenge Andy Boulanger, our amazing artist? How can we make this really interesting to him? How can we put something in here that that he hasn't done before?
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
when we came up with the idea of doing a silent running. And then, of course, when you do a silent running, you think, okay, well, you want absolute silence. So how can we get it so, Andy has 4 pages where he's completely unrestricted and, there's no dialogue whatsoever and trying to capture the emotions, the reactions on faces and the action that's taking place, within the panel and then, between the panels.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was a really fun issue to script in that way, because as soon as we came up with that concept, we thought, wow, that's really cool. It'll be a real challenge for Andy, but I think it's something that he can really step up to the plate and really hit a home run with, and he did. I think it might be some of his best work.
Oh, he's been hitting a home run the whole series. I mean, I've just been impressed with him from the beginning. I mean, I just think his brushwork and like, does he work digitally or do you know if it's like, I mean, is he like inking digitally or is he inking like with actual, old media, I should say, or?
No, he does old school. Yeah, he works old school. He does everything in pencils, everything by hand. So he does the pencils and the inks are all completely by hand, and it doesn't turn digital until after he's done the inks. He scans them in and then sends them off to our colorist, Sherry Chankama, who was a great addition to the team at the beginning of the Tide of Blood miniseries.
Yeah. I mean, I also love the colors. I don't want to like give them the colorist the short shrift either. I mean, I just think from the beginning it's always been like a really beautiful book, and you guys do like a like just the page presentation and the panel layouts and everything. I mean, I've just been so impressed with it from the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about how you and Connor sort of like approach what you're going to write about, like who takes the dialogue, who decides what's going to happen, like how do you guys go about with your planning stage?
Yeah, I mean, generally what we do is for a miniseries like, say, The Tide of Blood or most recent one, and then The Mask of Night, the one that's out now, what we'll do is he and I will sit down for a week or a couple of weeks and kind of map out, okay, well, what's going to happen, you know, over the course of the four issues, five issues, however many there are. Like, what is the major character arcs? You know, where do they go from point A to point B? Who's, you know, what's the story about? What are the A stories, the B stories, that sort of thing. So we kind of break that down, and then we break it down issue by issue. So this will happen in issue one, and it'll end with this sort of cliffhanger, issue two, issue three, issue four. And then what we do is kind of split it up. So, you know, in this case here, Connor really has taken the lead on issues one and three, and I've taken the lead on two and four. So
Gotcha.
basically, we'll sit down and I'll map out, or we'll map out in a beat sheet or an outline, like, hey, this happens. This scene will take 3 pages. This scene is 1 page, et cetera, et cetera. Then we'll pass it to the other person, and they'll jump in and they'll make additions and subtractions and revisions and all that sort of stuff, and give feedback. And it's back and forth that way. But there's always one person that's sort of driving that particular issue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Oh,
and I mean,
that's interesting.
we find that works best. I mean, now Connor and I are working in different cities. I'm based in New York. I just re relocated there a couple months ago, and then Connor's in Toronto.
Congratulations.
Thank
Yeah.
you. It's an amazing city.
It is.
Yeah, it's an amazing city, and it's I've really become creatively inspired there. That's one of the great things about it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, yeah, I mean, we kind of go back and forth, and you know, we just find that it's more effective that way because Connor and I both have creative talents, and we also have, you know, well, I don't know about mine, but we both have creative talents, we both have business talents. So for us, it's sort of inefficient if we both are in the room typing every single word.
Sure.
So I mean, we find that it works best. So I mean, I'll be off working on an issue, and Connor will be doing some marketing or some business stuff for us.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, as you said, I mean, both of us are outgoing, we're both gregarious. I mean, there's a balance. Connor and I both bring business and creative talents to the mix. So we find it really inefficient, I guess you could say, for both sitting in the same room on
Yeah.
the computer typing every single word together.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much better use of our time if one person is kind of doing the writing of a particular issue while the other person's doing business, and then we trade off. Because as you know, when it comes to comic books, you can't just sit back and write, or you can't sit back and do art or both, and then expect people to come and you know, find out about your title. You really need to be aggressive, and you need to really do a lot of marketing yourself. You know, a lot of
Sure.
promotion, or shameless self-promotion, as I like to call it sometimes.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah, we find that's the most efficient way for us to work together.
Gotcha. And do either of you like take charge on like some of the characters? Like, say somebody's like, I'm in charge of Othello and I'm in charge of Juliet, or is it just like a meld of like dialogue, like I write this person's dialogue and you write this person, or is it just both of you just working together on that?
No, I mean, there's no, we don't split it by character.
Gotcha.
We talk about the character, we talk about what he or she will be doing over the span of a miniseries, or even the span of an issue. So I mean, we make sure we're both on the same page, and then when the other person, you know, when one person goes to write it, then the other person will come back and go, yeah, you know what? I think you almost nailed the voice of Othello in this. It's a back and forth type thing, but it's not the sort of thing where, hey, I'm the Othello guy, you know, like I don't write the male characters and Connor doesn't write the female characters or anything like that. We both make sure that we're on the same page with respect to who they are and what their motivations are, and then have the characters grow from there.
Sure. Oh, wow. It's really great. I mean, whatever you guys are doing it. You guys are doing a really great job because, I mean, I'm just always impressed by like the constant content that you guys are putting out and just how well you guys just seem to have your stuff together. I mean, you know, you run into a lot of like, say, indie creators at conventions, and you guys have just seemed like the most like, you know, buttoned down, like professional, like got it together guys that I've met.
Well, thank you. I mean, Connor and I both have business backgrounds. We actually went to the same business school, not We went at the same time. We didn't actually know each other. We met about 2 years after we graduated. We have the business backgrounds, and we, as I was saying, we recognize that in today's climate, whether it's in comics, film, TV, board games, fine art, whatever, music, you need to be able to market yourself. And that's sort of how we brand ourselves and how we position ourselves. So, if we're working with you, then we're not just bringing creative talent, but we're bringing the marketing and the business talent. So, I mean, everything from accounting and finance through to marketing, to branding, to, production, all sorts of things, logistics, everything. I mean, that's, we kind of, we run our, it's almost like we run our own publishing company, the way we operate Kill Shakespeare.
Oh wow, yeah. Well, and how has working with IDW been? I mean, it seems like you guys like have a marriage made in heaven.
IDW has been great since day number one. They were, in fact, the first publishing company that we pitched Kill Shakespeare to. And I mean, we ended up having five companies interested in it, but we ended up signing with IDW. We liked them right off the bat. They were a good creative team or great, good creative company. We also appreciated their business savvy and how they'd grown so quickly. And I mean, they understand the comic book market. They understand design, everything. So it's been great. I mean, Tom Waltz is our editor there. He's been amazing. He's been very hands off. He lets us do what we want to do quite often, which is great. And and then Chris, who does the lettering for us, he's one of the designers there. He also writes Godzilla and a bunch of other titles, but he's been amazing. So yeah, I mean, and I, they've given us a lot of freedom, both in terms of on the creative side as well as on the marketing side, the promotions to make sure that we can get it to get this to as wide an audience as possible.
So let me ask you this, because the other thing that I was really impressed with when it came to The Mask of Night is it seems like you guys are utilizing like Shakespeare's characters, like you're utilizing them like say something like the Marvel Universe, where it just seems like there's so much flexibility that you take and you can pull characters from so many works. Like, how do you decide who you want to use and sort of like what direction you want to take them in? Because it seems like the what impressed me about The Mask of Night is that it's pretty much almost like a whole new cast. I mean, you've still got, people from the Tide of Blood and the first, 12 issue series, but now you've kind of centered around, Cesario and that whole crew. So it's just been impressing me like how you can just pull from this universe and just make them fresh and innovative. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Certainly. I mean, the Mask of Night actually comes from the board game,
Oh,
ironically
okay.
enough. When IDW started up their board game division, they said they wanted to do a Kill Shakespeare board game. We got excited about it.
Sure.
And one of the things we realized was that if we did it, you wanted to have the players to be able to, play as one of as a Shakespeare character, whether it's Hamlet or Juliet or whoever else. And so we wanted to introduce, we knew that we had to put the our everyone's favorite, so Hamlet and Juliet and Falstaff and Othello, but we also for the hardcore Kill Shakespeare fans, we wanted to give them a new experience. So it wouldn't be just, hey, we're taking stories from the comics or situations from the comics and putting it onto board games. So we wanted to introduce new characters. So one character that people a lot of our fans have been asking for is Viola from Twelfth Night.
Gotcha.
I know some people even suggested that, hey, you should put Viola as the female lead instead of Juliet. She's a lot stronger as a character. I mean, she's very forceful in the original play. So we decided, hey, since people have been asking for Viola, it would be great to put her in. And then we kind of came up with this backstory because we were talking about the geography of the land. And I mean, we have what we haven't really had many stories on the water yet. So what if Viola was from the water? And then we realized, wait a minute, she's the original heroine that, she shows up on by a shipwreck, which almost parallels Hamlet's story in our tale. And so we kind of played with that. And if she was on the water, what would she be like? And then we realized, what if we added pirates into this? Andy would really love to deal with pirates and illustrate pirates. And so, yeah, it kind of came from there. And then we realized that what we were creating was sort of the origin story of the Viola Captain Cesario character. So yeah, I mean, it's really cool that way. And that affords us. And then IDW said that they really loved the Hamlet Juliet storylines. So they didn't want it to be completely separate, but they wanted to be able to have us merge the two together. So we came up with a mechanism of Cesario and Viola are actually able to find the four, Hamlet, Juliet, Shakespeare, and Othello while they've been stranded. And that's how they're able to We're able to bring them into the story, and then we, as the story will go on, we'll find out that Hamlet and Juliet's storyline will parallel that of Viola and Captain Caesarea.
Gotcha. So, did you have a plan at the end of Tides of Blood? Because I went back and looked at the trade that I have of, the Tide of Blood, and they end up on like this boat. So, did you have that plan set up from the end of the Tide of Blood to go into this one?
To be honest, no. We
No. So you just stranded them on a boat, and you're like, okay, here we go.
yeah, we stranded them on a boat. I mean, we weren't sure. I mean, we know what the end game is going to be, but what the exactly the next installment was going to be, we actually had a good idea what the next installment would be. But then the board game came up, and then the opportunity to play with Viola and Captain Cesario, all of a sudden that really interested us. So decided, hey, instead of doing what we were thinking before, let's try this other thing. And actually, I think it's become a lot stronger because of it.
Yeah. Have you had any guff from any fans like saying like, wait, you're kind of pulling focus from the characters that I was used to?
Yeah, there actually have been some reviewers. I mean, overall, the reviews are quite positive, but the one thing, even the positive reviews, what a lot of people are saying is that, well, yeah, I really like this Viola Captain Cesario storyline, but there's still a lot more that I want to see explored in the Hamlet Juliet storyline.
Yeah.
We completely understand that, and for those that are concerned about that, it'll become quite important here, and their story's not done yet. We're not giving it short shrift. There's still a lot of baggage, or there's still a lot of story that's coming that happened in the Tide of Blood that's going to have to be examined and re-examined with these characters as they continue their relationship moving forward.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because I sort of appreciate the sort of pull of focus. You know, it's not that I was getting tired of like the way it was going or anything, but I'm always kind of interested when it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, this is something different. Like, this, you're not just kind of going down the same path you were going, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of like I said, we like the opportunity to bring in these new characters. And what we're going to do is we're using these new characters to be able to reflect back on the original character. So,
Yeah.
I mean, what happens with Viola and Captain Cesario in over the span of these four issues will play a lot into what plays out in Juliet and Hamlet's storyline.
Gotcha. So let's talk about this board game for a little bit, because when I ran into you guys at WonderCon, you were like, oh, we have a board game coming out. And I was like, what? Like a board game? At first, I thought you guys were saying like a role-playing game, like Dungeons and Dragons, like set in like Kill Shakespeare's universe, which I was like, that could work too, but I really was kind of like, well, how do you play a board game, with Shakespeare? I mean, obviously, I guess you could, but how does it work? Like, what? How do the play mechanics work? Can you talk about that a little bit, or?
Yeah, I mean it's a semi-cooperative game. First of all, I mean IDW Games has been great. They started up a new board game division, and we were really honored that they wanted to release Kill Shakespeare as the first board game in
Oh,
that
so
division.
you're the first.
We're the guinea pigs.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to be launching us. Originally, the goal was to have launched it last month,
Yeah.
but there have been some delays with respect to printing some of the meeples and some of the actual physical printing problems.
Yeah.
Because this is completely new for them, so they've decided, or so unfortunately, it's pushed back just a bit. I think we're looking now at the end of August for the release date.
Oh, great.
But yeah, no, I mean it's been a great process thus far. And well, they brought in some top designers from Belgium who designed a game called Yato, which was really interesting. And so what's great is, I mean, Connor and I—they kept Connor and I involved. I mean, we're writing the story quests. We're the ones that decided what characters to put in, what the overall story would be in terms of, it's five characters, and they have to make sure that Richard III and Lady Macbeth do not take over all of Illyria. But no, I mean, it's a semi-cooperative game, so it's the sort of thing where you're playing one of the characters, but you're playing with the other board game players, and you have to work together to make sure that Lady Macbeth and Richard III do not win at the end of the day. However, you can't all win collectively. Only one person can actually win and then become the king or queen of the entire land. So
Wow.
it's gonna be a really cool game mechanic. Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's not for the casual gamer. It's not for the sort of person that wants to sit down and play for an hour. This is the sort of thing where you have to read through for half hour the rules to fully understand it. And this is more for those that play like the Dominions and like the hardcore Risk versions.
I was
As
going to
opposed
say
to
Risk.
it's not Settlers. It's not Ticket to Ride. It's not something that's casual or semi-casual. This is something that's more for the hardcore gamer.
Yeah. So basically, How did I mean, I know you said that they were starting up a like a game division. How did they approach you about that? Or did you hear about it and were like, "Hey guys, kill Shakespeare," or what, how did the like development start moving forward? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, well they came to us. They had
Just out of the blue.
yeah, we got an email from from Jerry Bennington at IDW, who does the he also does the IDW limited edition, so the super special edition copy or versions that they have of books. So they approached us and said, "Hey guys, we have an idea we want to float past you." So we got on the phone with them, and they told us about the board game division. They said they'd love to do a board game of Kill Shakespeare. It's one of the titles that when they went through all the comics that they put out is the title that really stood out because they realized there'd be a lot of potential. So yeah, I mean, we thought it wasn't something we were originally planning to do. So and they seemed quite anxious, quite excited by it. So we said, "Hey, let's give them free rein on it." So they're technically they're licensed it from us, the brand for the board game, and no, I mean they've been, like I said, they've been great to work with. The two designers in Belgium, we've exchanged notes back and forth quite often, and yeah, I mean we're really excited about it.
And how does the development of a game, how does that happen? I mean, it seems like it would be a very complex sort of like enterprise, and do they get the designers to come on and then they're like, well, this is what, and then the designers say pitch how they think the game would go, and then they come to you and say, like, what character should we put in? What should be the story structure? How does that all get laid out? Because it's something that I'm completely unfamiliar with.
Yeah, and it's something that was new to us as well. I mean, we basically sat down with ourselves, Jerry and Nate from IDW Games, and then Nathan McNair from Pandasaurus Games, who have been partner who they partnered up with IDW. And so they talked about roughly what sort of the game would be like. And so we started to talk about, well, this is what's important to us. We want to make sure that you don't need to know anything about Shakespeare or even kill Shakespeare to be able to get into this. It's accessible that way. I mean, we want it so that. We need the character of Shakespeare in there because that's the overall myth of the mythos of our world that we've created. Just th things like that. And they asked us, well, what characters do we want to put in? And we suggested the characters. And then they put together a game document, like a game design document, 2 pages or something like that. And that's what they then sent to the game designers. And the game designers took that and then ran with it and started to use the game mechanic that they used in Yato and then altered and revised that. To strengthen it. And yeah, I mean, there's actually, at first we thought it would be just like Yato, but as it's gone on, I mean, they've decided, or they've figured out that they can actually improve on Yato and they can really do some really cool new things on it. So yeah, I mean, it's sort of that thing. And again, neither Connor nor I are game designers, so nor do we pretend to be. And so we wanted to give them as much freedom as possible. We didn't want to be those creators that were always looking over their shoulders and being very specific with it. Because I mean, if the roles were reversed, I know how much that would annoy me. So we wanted to give them as much freedom as possible. And I mean, we just gave them the just general guidelines that we wanted in the first place.
So is Glenn Fabry doing the art for the game, or is it just the cover of the box?
Yeah, we got him to do the cover of the box, which is great. And then we got J.K. Woodward, who's done a bunch of stuff, Star Trek and some other things with IDW. So we got him to do the artwork for the series. And I mean, both of them have been coups. I mean, we had another artist originally that was going to do the cover design, but he had to step away. I think something kind of came up on the personal front. So I mean, we were actually really blessed to have Glenn come in, and he's actually. He was, I guess he was probably our first choice, but we didn't think he was, I don't think he was available when we first approached him. And then when we had to find another artist, then he'd all of a sudden become free. So it worked out perfectly.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, talk about a coup. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, the cover artist of Preacher. I mean, that's you don't get any better than that.
No, not really. No.
You guys must have. So have you actually sat down and played this game, like with people?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say I have not yet.
What? What about Connor?
Connor actually has. Connor, they sent Connor because I was in the middle of moving to New York while this was happening. So that, but Connor's more of a gamer than I am, and he's got a lot of fans or a lot of friends that are hardcore gamers.
Really?
So he sat down. They didn't play a full game, Like, I mean, we both played Yato. Like, I played Yato with some of my friends. He played Yato, like the game that the our designers had created last year.
Yeah.
So we can get a feeling for that. We both played that game, but the actual Kill Shakespeare, Connor, they sent Connor some pieces, so he hasn't been able to play a full out game, but he was able to actually go through and kind of he has a good sense of exactly what the game is going to be.
Gotcha. And do you get approved? Like, are the pieces in the game or the characters in the game, are they modeled after like the designs in the series? Or did you guys just go in a slightly different art direction? I mean, I haven't seen like, any of the game pieces or anything like that. All I've seen is the cover art, for the box. So I'm just wondering, like, are there character cards, like that sort of thing? Like, how does that work?
The character cards. So those are all we got JK to come on board and do the design work for all the characters on those cards. And yeah, that was it's exactly based off of the Kill Shakespeare comic series. So I mean, Othello and
Wow.
Hamlet, I mean, it's not exactly, but it's pretty much all inspired from the original work. And then for the actual design of the physical meeples or the physical act like figures that figurines that you use, those are just more generic meeples. But they'll be different colors for different characters.
Oh, wow. So how crazy is it for you to have like a board game based on something that you created and have like little figures and like all that stuff? I mean, I know it's one thing to have a comic book, and well, I mean, you've been on the globe stage, so like what am I talking about? So, but I guess for me, like that just seems like I won, like, hello, like I'm done.
It hasn't hit me yet, to be honest. I think it'll hit me once I actually see it in a shrink wrapped box. I think once I see that, then I have a feeling I will be completely blown away by it. Because yeah, I mean it's one thing to have a comic book come out, and it's great. The first day seeing it on the shelves of the comic stores is great. The first time you see it at Barnes and Noble or Chapters Indigo in Canada. Or you were on Amazon, it's great. To see the stage show the first time was amazing. To see people do cosplay of Kill Shakespeare in the past was amazing. And a board game is also going to feel the same way. I think once I walk into a comic shop or a board game store and all of a sudden see it on the shelves, I think that's where it'll really hit me going, yeah, wow, this is pretty freaking cool.
That's great. Can you talk to me a little bit about the theatrical productions? Do you have one going on? Is it in Pennsylvania right now, or it's going to be, or?
Yeah, the theatrical versions. Yeah, there are about three or four scheduled for this fall. There's going to be one. The Philadelphia Shakespeare Festival is going to be doing a production of it in the fall, and I think they're doing a couple productions of it. It's taking place at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival, and we've got a bunch of other schools and theater companies interested in doing it. And in fact, this past year or this past semester, so January through to April, no, January through to May, there was the University of Indiana at Pennsylvania actually put on a Kill Shakespeare class. So it was an entire
Oh,
university,
wow.
there's an entire university level class all devoted to Kill Shakespeare. So it revolved around the comic book series, the theatrical, like the stage version. We showed them some early prototypes of the board game. We showed them, we opened up our files to them. It was an amazing class taught by Professor Carrie Cole. And it was just, again, I mean, just the thought of having an entire class taught about something that, 5, 6 years ago was just a figment of your imagination is, it's one of those things that as you said, I mean, you kind of sit back and you're like, I'm done. Like, I can't believe all this stuff has happened.
Oh, well, I know you have to go. I was hoping to get a chance to talk to you about the Dynamite announcement, but I guess maybe some other time, or maybe closer to the release date. Like when is that set for the Sherlock Holmes Houdini crossover that you guys are working on?
Yeah, it's actually slated to the first issue will come out in October. It's
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes versus Harry Houdini.
Yeah.
It was something that Dynamite Comics had approached us about earlier this year, and as soon as we heard both those names, Holmes and Houdini, we said, "All right, we're in." Like that's just amazing. It's incredible mashup, and it's been a blast to put it together thus far. We've finished off the first two scripts, or the scripts for the first two issues, and then the script for issue number three is currently in progress. But no, it's been great. It's going to come out in October. We've got a great new artist working on it, and yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun for those that are fans of Holmes and those are fans of Houdini. I mean, it's a way to meet halfway. And yeah, we're trying to really add a lot of humor to it as well. I mean, the first, Kill Shakespeare's great and writing in characters like Falstaff and Puck have been amazing. But we really wanted to kind of play up the humor because you've got these two characters who are completely, they're two geniuses. And what happens when two geniuses have to work together? You know, there's going to be a lot of friction and a lot of tension between the two. And that's been a blast composing.
Great, great. Well, I know that you have to go. Thanks for, coming on Part-Time Fanboy as always. I mean, you've always been really good to us. I mean, like I've said before, you guys were kind of our first interview ever on this podcast. So, you've been really generous with your time and I just appreciate, like, it seems like anytime I come near your booth at a convention, you guys are like, Christian, and I'm like, what's the big deal?
No, because we hold, I mean, you were one of our first reviewers as well back when we first launched it in 2010. So I mean, that really, we felt honored by it, and it was a very well-written review as well. So I think it really stood out amongst everything else that was people writing about us at the time. I mean, not that there were negative things, but it, like your reviews were very insightful, and so we really appreciated that. And that's why we're, it sounds like you're fans of ours, and we're fans of yours.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm definitely fans of yours, so, and I'm continually impressed with how well things seem to be going. And like I say to friends, I'm like, these guys seem like to be like the most together guys in comics that I've met in a while. So, I just appreciate your work and congratulations on everything. And congratulations on your engagement too. Like, that's fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'm very fortunate. Lisa Newell is an amazing young woman, and yeah, I mean, she's really inspired me to become so much stronger, even with respect to Kill Shakespeare and comics. So I owe a lot to her. So I'm
Oh,
looking forward
cool.
to a very happy life.
That's great. That's great. Well, hopefully, maybe we can get you guys back on in October, if you're not too busy. But thanks for the time, and you guys take care.
Yeah, we'd love that. That would be great. October. Let's mark it down.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you have a good day, and thanks for coming on Part-Time Fanboy.
Yeah, thank you very much, Christian.
Awesome.
Part-time fanboy.